Faith depends on God doing something in the next week. It's kind of scary, isn't it? That's what it is. That's what faith is. And I want to claim that and walk forward. So how many would be committed to say, Pastor, as much as I can, I want to pray that God would do something that this week in your family? Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. This is our invitation right now, all right? So God saw your hand. Really, truly, our faith depends upon this. Let me give you a testimony. At school, where my kids are, they got praying about a building that they need as a school. Well, the student body kind of got a hold of this independently and praying for it. And they really believed that God was going to do something before graduation. Now, mind you, this is an existing building that already has a business in it right next door to the college there. And they really need this building. It's a nursing home and Alzheimer's unit. Right now there's only 12 patients there, but it's a beautiful building, ranch style, just beautiful building. Well, the student body really believe that God's going to do something before graduation. Now, graduation is this weekend. Now, I'll tell you this. We were praying about it last Thursday, and it's interesting because they've been praying about this for like years, and they really believe they should do something. Well, a couple guys on their way out here stopped at the headquarters in Toledo and basically met a brick wall. You know, it was all locked down, and they finally got to talk to somebody. Well, they just let it go and continued on. And anyway, the very next day, so this is Thursday, on Friday of last week, the guy that's in charge called out of the blue there and said, number one, yes, we're willing to sell, which is absolutely huge, because up until this point, it had been no way, no, don't even ask, it's not on the market, we're not doing it. And so basically the point was, I guess the prayer was that something would happen about that before graduation, and God did it, I mean, amazingly, miraculously, even to open this up. And I'm just saying, you say, well, that's not a big deal. It is a huge deal. And I don't know what God's going to do there, but that's the kind of thing, grabbing a hold of something and saying, I believe God can do this, and then holding on to it. Now, don't grab onto something that God didn't promise, but if God leads you to pray for something and hold on to it, because what they said was, the faith of these young people is at stake. I mean, God's name's at stake on this, and God's not going to let his name go, you know, defamed and questioned. So, I mean, this is what I'm talking about. When we go forward by faith and we say, I believe God's going to do this. It's not me thinking it. It's the Holy Spirit lays on our heart. We go forward. And as I was sitting here tonight, I thought, you know what, Lord? I really believe, and I think the Holy Spirit just urged us to pray tonight for that. And I believe God can do something in that, and he will. So, but we've got to be earnest in praying. It's scary stepping out like that, you know? I mean, we trust God, but okay, Lord, this is going to be it. Because if this doesn't happen, it's the faith of me and my children, my church, and so it's a big deal. And so I think we just need to commit to pray to that more and more. That specifically stood out to me tonight. I'm just praying that God would do something there. Amen. Good. All right. Did everybody receive a lesson tonight, a half sheet? Anybody not? Okay, if you did not, hold your hand up. There's a segment up here. Well, most of this side, a couple over here. Does anybody have those? Brother Dennis has them. Okay, good. All right. So we're going to move relatively fast tonight. So I want you to hold on. We're going to move to Daniel chapter 9, all right? Do we have enough? Up here, guys. Yeah, there we go. 4 or 5 here. Mrs. Zerby needs one there. Keep your hands up high there. There you go. Awesome. Give them out till they're gone. How many we got left? One. Oh, my goodness. Two. Okay. Oh, Brother Jeff has a few. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. All right. Anybody else? A couple there? Okay, good. Looks like we had enough. All right, Daniel chapter 9 is where we're going to be tonight. Now, last time we were together, 2 weeks ago, we talked about Daniel's prayer. And I wanted to remind you tonight of how important that was. And it's a great lesson to go back and learn how to pray and how Daniel prayed for the Lord to do something, and God did it. I want to just start by saying in verse number 21, actually verse 20, this is where I want to pick up tonight. We're going to talk tonight about, just briefly, about the 70 weeks of Daniel. This is a very prophetic passage. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of prophecy tonight. It's not going to go deep into these things. Lord willing, we're going to get into that later. But tonight I want to just talk, if I can, starting in verse number 20. Notice, if you would, Daniel was praying, and in verse 20, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord. All right, so if you need a pattern for prayer, I think that's a great one. All right, so he's confessing sin.
He's talking to the Lord, speaking. He is praying, that is asking for things. Then it's talking about they're presenting my supplication. All right, so there's a heart burden that he has, and he wants to get, wants to bring this to the Lord and ask God to do something. While he was doing this, the Bible says, and this is the very interesting part there, before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. So what was the timing here? All right, so I want you to see, first of all, in your notes there, the messenger that God sent. The messenger that God sent. We're going to talk through this tonight a little bit, but notice here, if you would, he informed me in verse 22 and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I came to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. So I mentioned this last time, that while Daniel was in the middle of speaking and praying, God sent Gabriel to come. And it was during this prayer, I don't know how long Daniel was praying. It very well could have been days, it could have been hours, it could have been minutes, I don't know. But sometime during that prayer, when God heard that, he sent Gabriel to come to Daniel, and at the very moment Daniel started praying, that's when the message was coming. I love the song, I believe the answer's on the way. I believe the Lord has heard me pray. It's a little chorus, it's a wonderful thing, we used to sing it in college. The fact is, when we pray, God hears, and if we have faith, God is going to answer that prayer. Now, I'm not preaching on prayer tonight, but that's a wonderful message. Prayer is not just a passive, Lord, here's this, and we walk away from it. Prayer is, I'm bringing something to the Lord, I'm holding on to it, I'm claiming it by faith because I believe it's in God's will. That's the key, praying in God's will. God has either revealed this through his word or his Holy Spirit in our life, and we pray and hold on to that, and we go through. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. And this is an example of that. All right, so number one, the messenger. I want to talk, if I can, first of all, about the meaning of the word angel. The meaning of the word angel. By the way, you may already know what the meaning of the word angel is. Does anybody know? Oh, it says it right there, huh? No, it doesn't. Okay, let's go to that. It is messenger. Very good. I thought he was giving it away, but my faithful media guys were being careful. That's awesome. All right, so the word angel means messenger. It's from the Greek word angelos or something like that. I didn't really study it too much tonight, but it's the meaning, it means messenger or someone who carries a message. So when we're talking about angels, we're talking about someone who's carrying a message there. And it strictly speaking, only of some of the heavenly hosts are called angels. The other names that are used are things like cherubim and seraphim. You've heard those and you know other things. So angels have a particular job. And this is getting to the doctrine of angelology a little bit, and we'll talk more about that in another study. But the fact is that angels are messengers. God uses them for his service and to carry his messages, and we see that throughout the Bible. Now, there's a couple, what I'm going to call, for lack of a better term, this may not be a biblical term, but rankings of angels or rankings of heavenly beings. And I want to look, if we can, at the angels, the use of angels in the Bible. I'm not going to be exhaustive tonight. But just to give you a few ideas. Number one, there in your notes, we have the archangel. What's the archangel's name? Michael. Very good. And Michael the archangel is really the only one that's mentioned. So that leads us to believe that there's probably only one archangel. It's interesting, isn't it? And he would be considered probably to be the one that is the highest or at least the most influential. And I've left some blanks there for you to just jot down if you hear anything that you want to write down there. But the idea of him being the archangel, all right? We have no other reference. And by the way, Michael the archangel is mentioned in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So this is not a dispensational ministry, all right, of an archangel. This is an eternal ministry. And so at the beginning of the earth, world, whatever the case might be, however this came out, we don't understand at all. But Michael's the only one that's mentioned as the archangel. And it seems as if that he has a special assignment of acting in the interest of the nation of Israel. So when God's plan for his people was at stake, Michael the archangel was often the one and always the one that would bring the message of God to his people. We know that he will announce the rapture, which, by the way, is the commencement or the recommencement of God's plan for his people Israel. For us, it's the end, right, of this world that we know. We're going to be in heaven at the rapture. It's the beginning of our existence in eternity. But for Israel, it's the beginning of God's plan again. I'll show you that in just a minute. I feel like I'm talking too fast. I got to slow down. All right. So the rapture is going to be announced by the angel, angel Michael, excuse me, the archangel. The Bible clearly says that. All right. Now let's go to the second one. The messenger is Gabriel. And we know Gabriel, right? He has never been called an archangel in the Bible. He has the special task of bringing God's most important messages about his plan to people. Okay, now, so it's not just Israel, but can you tell me some places in the Bible where Gabriel brought a message? Anybody at all? Mary. Okay, good. That's right. Mary announced the arrival of the Lord Jesus. What else did he do? What? Oh, yes. Okay, so he appeared to Zechariah and prophesied about John the Baptist's conception and birth. Okay? Those are the two so far. And we're in Daniel chapter 9. Right. So he comes again with Daniel here giving the message. All right. So I believe that even in some other areas we could talk about that. But by name, we know that this is Gabriel, the messenger. Okay? So this is his role throughout the interactions with man here, particularly the messages that reveal God's plan in history or in prophecy. Gabriel is the one that would come and bring that. And so we have three really announcements from him. So this is the messenger that Daniel's talking to. Can you imagine, can you even imagine praying and looking up and seeing the archangel standing before you? I'm sorry, the messenger Gabriel before you. Can you imagine that? I can't even imagine. I don't, it's just unbelievable. Now, also notice what the angel said. You are highly beloved. All right. I believe that what that means is God saw the faith of Daniel and had already seen Daniel's faithfulness through the years. And now Daniel's hungering to know God's word. God says, I'm going to give you this and reveal. Now, he revealed something in Daniel chapter 9 that is absolutely pivotal to our understanding of God's plan in history, even to this day. So this was a glimpse. Daniel chapter 9 is a glimpse into God's plan that he only revealed this specifically right here in Daniel. Now, there's now with that understanding, we can go to the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we can go to the book of Revelation, and we can see this line of truth now where we see these glimpses. It paints a big picture. So this is an amazing thing, all right? Just a few short verses, just like I think a good angel. He's very succinct in his message, very clear. It's exactly what needs to be said, and no more, and he's gone. And that's what we're going to find tonight in this. So I want you to see number two, the message then of the angel. Now for you, you're getting down to the end of your notes. For me, I'm getting into the bulk of my notes. So we're going to move quickly here, and you can turn your page over and write all you want if you want to, all right? But I want you to see a couple things starting in verse number 24 then. So he says, here's what the vision is. Consider the matter. Understand it. And then he goes right into it in verse 24. Ready? 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. All right? So he's talking to Daniel. Let's get a context very quickly. Talking to Daniel, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Who are those people? Israel, the Jews. Who is his? What is his city? Jerusalem. All right? So Jerusalem's the capital there. And so now we know who he's talking about. And he says to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make a reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. All right, so there's a lot of ands in there, okay? But here's what the vision is. 70 weeks are determined. That is, 70 weeks are established. That's the plan. There's no changing it. That's determined. And what's going to happen is there's going to be 70 weeks whereby the people are going to be judged for their sin, and we know that that's the case. Daniel was the first one to be deported in the first group there, and the Jews were scattered. It didn't take long, and now the Jews are all over the world, in every country, scattered all over the place. God completely scattered his people. They no longer have a national identity. And that was specifically, as Daniel mentioned here, for the punishment of their transgression. They had failed to follow the Lord and instead worshipped idolatry and gone into all kinds of wickedness and sin, moral and spiritual. And so God said, you're going to be kind of just scattered abroad. And that's exactly what happened. And it's going to be that way for 70 weeks. Now I want to introduce, if I can, a couple thoughts here. 70 weeks here is the word for sevens. a weeks here, we always talk about a week as being 7 days. But the word week means seven of anything, all right? So you could say a week of years or a week of months. We don't use it that way, but that can be how it's used, and that's how it's used here. And so what we find then is very specifically, God's giving a timeline. Now that's important because it gives us very specific events that we can count, and that's what Daniel discovered. I can go back in history and I can count these things up and I can realize what God's doing here. You see how valuable that is? It's almost like the Rosetta Stone. You guys know what the Rosetta Stone is? It's like the key to unlock like four different languages that they couldn't figure out. It's the one little stone, the key. And that's what Daniel's is here. All right, so 70 times 7 is 490 years. That's a very measurable number. But not only does he give a timeline here, the length of the punishment, letter A, and it's primarily dealing with the period of time that the Jewish people were going to be living in their land that God had promised them, and then was going to be, they were going to be scattered. But notice what he says there in verse number 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, okay, so that's the first event. From that time, when the commandment goes forth, the decree goes forth to build Jerusalem again, and all the way up to the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Okay, now this is all an enigma and kind of a mystery, but let me tell you, long before Daniel even knew the name, or after he knew the name, he understood what he was talking about, and he was talking about the time when Nehemiah would be sent back from Babylon, really, in Persia, to go back to Jerusalem and to build. Now, that happened in several different phases. We know that Artaxerxes gave 2 decrees. We know Darius gave a decree. And the other one, Cyrus, gave a decree to go back. Now, out of those 4 decrees, it was the second one of Artaxerxes that allowed Nehemiah to go back and build the wall that we have to start counting from. And you start counting from that year when Nehemiah went back. And it was well documented in Jewish history because, you know, it was all in history and they had to write everything down. So we know when that happened. And you count forward now 7 weeks of years, which is 49. That brings us to the end of the Old Testament period. Are you following me tonight? I'm giving you a lot, all right? So 49 years now from Nehemiah to the end of the Old Testament. Now, to the end of Malachi, I'll say that. There was much left to happen after Malachi, but the Lord did not speak to God's or to his people after that. Now there was going to be another segment of time. The Bible calls it here, let me just find it in verse number 25 again there, 62 weeks. Now, 62 weeks is 62 weeks of years. You didn't know you were going to be doing a lot of math tonight, right? Okay, so 62 times 7, does anybody know what that is? 430... I have it right here. Let me read it. 434 years. 434 years. Okay. So follow with me. 434 years plus the 49 years that's already happened brings us up to very close to the time that the Lord Jesus came. And I'm saying very close to because here's the difference. The Jewish calendar used 360-day years. Now we use the Gregorian calendar, I think, something like that. Julian calendar, I'm not sure. But anyway, we now count 365 and a quarter days, all right? So our days are a little bit off than what they use. But here's the point. From the time of Nehemiah to the time of the Old Testament was 49 years. From the time now that Daniel and all everybody was going to be dispersed and everybody was going to leave and the Messiah was going to be cut off. So come forward now, another 434 years. You've got to about 483 years that have been accomplished. All right, trust me on this. I know it's a lot. Okay. You don't have to trust me. Read the Bible and you'll see it. Okay. So here's the thing. 483 years now, and Daniel's thinking to himself, 483 years out of 490, that leaves how many years left? 7 years. We're really close. Daniel's thinking to himself, oh my, what's going to happen now? what's going to happen? He got kind of excited. He got kind of, because he knows at the end of 490 years, God's going to restore back, and God's going to begin working with his people again. So he gets really excited about this, and he prays and asks the Lord to do all this. But we know something now that Daniel did not see, and many of the Old Testament saints did not see. Between the 69th week, which is 483 years, and the 70th week is a huge pause of time. So far it's been 2021, something like that, give or take a few years. And we call that pause now, and I've said it many times, the what? Church age, age of grace. We can say all kinds of things, right? The dispensation of grace, whatever. Now, we know that Paul called it in Ephesians the mystery of the gospel that was hid to them from the ages past. Now Paul says that mystery has been revealed to us. We know what God's doing. So in a sense, 69 years have been accomplished. I'm sorry, 69 weeks of years have been accomplished in God's plan for Israel. This is what he's showing to Daniel. The key here is this, that between the 69th and 70th week, there's going to be this pause. Now, let me tell you, we've got to the point. Let's go, if we can, Nathan, to that, or JD, to the graphic, if you would, to show. Now, I don't know if you'll be able to see all this. Hopefully you can. If not, maybe it's a timeline, all right? So this yellow line, this red line, I'm not colorblind, is really the timeline, all right? And there's the events up and down. I want to take you through a couple things here. Jerusalem is destroyed, begins the 70 years of captivity. Now follow with me, all right, on this. The 70 weeks start here when there's a decree by Artaxerxes to rebuild Jerusalem. And ultimately that happens when the wall is built. Okay, that's when Nehemiah goes. So now he starts counting. And this brings us the 483 years to the time of Christ, when Christ was cut off. Now, that's what it says, when the Messiah is cut off. Did we read that? We might not have read it yet. Look at verse number 26. And after 62 weeks, that's 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Wow, that sounds bad, doesn't it? Floods and desolations and all this stuff. All right, now, we're getting there. So Daniel sees this all together. 69 weeks, 70 weeks, it's all going to happen together. He doesn't see the great pause in here called the Age of Grace. God can do that because he's sovereign, right? All right, so from the time of Christ, he's cut off, and there's this age of grace that we're in. We don't know when it's going to end, but I'll tell you this. We have every indication that it's very close to the end. I'll tell you why. Because what Daniel saw was his people coming back together. Since the time of the first dispersion, there has not been a united identity of the Jewish nation until, how many know, 1948. When it was reestablished and recognized internationally as a country again. Now the Jews had a place to come back to, and they've been coming back ever since. By the way, we need to pray for Israel today. I don't know if you've been watching the news. You're not going to see it on the news, but they're under attack, and it's really awful. But here's the point. There's a lot of things going on that even the news doesn't cover, spiritually and religiously going on. The rebuilding of the temple, things are being moved around. It's unbelievable what God's doing there in Jerusalem and in Israel. You may not know it, but it's happening. And I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying the countdown has begun. So what, as we're already in really the last things happen that needs to happen. Israel's now a national identity. There's nothing left to happen before the Lord comes back. And once the rapture happens, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, by the way, we comfort ourselves with that. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we're not in the same dispensation as the Jews. We're not going to be affected by the tribulation. But when that rapture happens, God's pause button is clicked again or unclicked or whatever. The play button starts again, and now the 7 weeks of years begin, that last tribulation time where they will go. And so now the Bible calls it. Now, we know from Revelation, and again, we're not going to have a Bible study in the rapture tonight, but we know it's in two parts. We know the first part is 3.5 years. Revelation counts the days, and that's exactly 3.5 years. And we know that what's happening is that there's a man. By the way, this is taking us down to the last point in your notes there, the players of this vision. So we have number one, I don't know if I have them listed for you, but we have the Messiah, obviously, being cut off. We have the Jewish people, that are part of this. But the one really that's the rest of Daniel chapter 9 is a man that's known as the Antichrist. We know about him, don't we? I want to just tell you a few things about him. Number one, we believe, and I believe, especially from passages in Daniel that we've already talked about, the Western Roman Empire being resurrected and all this, I believe that it's going to be a Western dictator. I don't know what Western dictator that's going to be. European, American, I don't know. But he's not going to be Eastern. I believe he'll be Western. The Bible talks about that. And I believe he'll be a dictator. That means he'll have great power. People will worship him. I mean, literally, he's a political leader that people will worship. He will have great influence over Israel. He will be able to strike a deal with Israel at the beginning here, right at the beginning. And that deal will begin the countdown of the tribulation. And that agreement will give Israel a sense of security for 3.5 years. He will be a powerful ally of Israel. No one will touch them. He will be very powerful for 3.5 years. But we know what happens. At the midway point, he breaks that agreement with Israel, and their safety is now gone. And for the next 3.5 years, the Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble, or the great tribulation. That's the last 3.5 years. And what happens during that 3.5 years is absolutely a time of persecution and death and carnage, and God pours out his judgment not only upon his people, but upon the world. We'll talk about that later, but it's just awful. And the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven vials, and they just keep getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, a third of the population die, and all kinds of stuff happens. It's just awful. Now, what I'm saying is all of this, Daniel is seeing this, and this 1 week of years completes the work of God that he started back here at the timeline. How many are with me on that? Okay, so that's the key that Daniel was given to God's purpose and work. Now, I don't believe it was given for Daniel's purpose only, because Daniel didn't see all this. I think it was given for us, so that now we can look back and see the plan of God in its completion, really, as much as we can know it, and recognize that God has a plan and he's doing it. Now, Daniel 9 is as effective and as important to us and relevant to us as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and Revelation 1 through 21. Because what it does is it kind of ties all of this together and helps us to understand this is what God's doing. Daniel saw it in light of his people. We see it in light of all of history and with what we know in the New Testament now about the rapture and all that. Daniel didn't know all about that. And now we know what God's going to do. Here's what I'm saying tonight. And let me just close with this. We've gone very quickly here. But the fact of the matter is I think we really have three things that we can glean from this truth as we end tonight and understand this. Number one, we're blessed to be able to glimpse into this bit of God's plan and see it clearly, what he's going to do. Don't you consider yourself blessed? I think to myself, who are we to be able to know all this stuff? But man, isn't it great? I think it's just such a clarity of mind. When I look around and see what happened in the world and, you know, the events, what's happening, we can see it all shape up. I can see it. It doesn't scare me. It shouldn't scare us. It's not a time for fear. It's a time of comfort. That's what God says. Comfort yourselves with these things. And it's not a time to be fearful. Let me tell you, we don't need to be afraid. I think Caleb was showing me a verse today. To them, the gospel, that is to the world, it's their perdition. It's their punishment. And they're afraid of it. To us, it's salvation. Then the whole point is, don't be afraid of that. So I want to tell you tonight, it's not a time for fear. It's not a time for uncertainty. Oh, that's going to happen. I don't know. No, God's got this all in his plan. We know what our commission is. We know what we're supposed to be doing. Let's be busy about it. Secondly, we know then that our time is short. I know you hear that, it almost becomes cliche. But man, I'm telling you, it is short. I mean, Israel became a nation and got an identity back in 1948. I don't know if anybody in here, except for maybe Mrs. Gross that was alive during that time. And that was the year my dad was born. So I know that it's been a long time ago. But it's not that long ago in human history. 73 years. Thank you, Miss Alita. I think that's great. So what am I saying? It's not that long ago. All right? And what I'm saying is that we are close. We're seeing God work in all these ways. And I think we see today things that are happening that 73 years ago they would have laughed at. We see technology. We see, you know, political structures, and we see all kinds of things shaping up. I don't know how it's all going to play out. I don't think that's for us to know, but I can see how it can. By the way, I want you to be careful because I know there's a lot of fear and talk about, you know, the way that the one world government will set up and how, you know, the economic and all of this stuff will play out. I understand. I don't want to be a part of that either. In other words, you know, we're moving to a cashless society. And so I really hesitated for a long time to use a credit card or a debit card, you know. You know, and now it's wireless. You know, you can just touch it to it and go. Now you can use it on your phone, touch your phone to it and go. Listen, is the technology there and is it available for people? Absolutely. Is it what's going to be used? I think this is just primitive compared to what's going to be used, I think. But here's the point. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid to use my phone of this, other than it is risky because people can get your identity or whatever, so whatever about that. But here's the point. I don't think I'm playing into the system that the Antichrist is going to use. That's yet to come, all right? I can see it. I can definitely see how something like this, and by the way, we're talking about, some people come to me about vaccines and so forth. Here's the deal. We don't need to be afraid of this. There's no conspiracy about this. Now, I think that what the political structure can use, and I'm just giving you my opinion right now, they can use that as a source of power. For instance, you can't fly if you don't have your vaccine. You can't shop here if you don't have your vaccine, whatever. I think we're being conditioned for that, but I'm not afraid of that. Listen, vaccines are helpful. It's good. Talk to your doctor, whatever, okay? But don't think that because you're involved in this and somehow you're playing into the Antichrist plan. We are not part of that. And I believe that with all of my heart. God's people are not part of that. And you're not voluntarily giving up your religious liberties. Now, we can give up our religious liberties if we're not careful. And there are some things we need to take a stand on. But don't be paranoid about those things that apparently seem like it's the world system leading to this one world government. Be careful about that, all right? Now, follow the Holy Spirit, all right? A pastor's not telling you what to do or how to get a vaccine or not to get a vaccine. That's not my role. I'm just saying don't let that become the fear be the driving factor. Fear never needs to be a driving factor. Always faith. What does God want you to do? That's what you need to do. So don't ever be fearful. Realize your time is short. Our time is short. And we know that the Lord will return for those who have trusted him, and we're to comfort one another with those words. Let me tell you again, God has given us a mandate, and this is not a time to sit back on our laurels and say, well, we better just ride it in until the Lord comes, right? No, that's the Thessalonian mindset. The Thessalonian mind says, hey, God's coming back. Let's rack up debt. Let's quit our jobs. Who cares? God's coming back. No. Wrong philosophy. Paul had to write and say, you guys got it all wrong. All right? Get busy. That's what the message is. Jesus is coming. Get busy. Jesus is coming. Get right. Jesus is coming. Get your focus right. That's the whole message of what we're talking about tonight. And by the way, that's not my message or our church's message. That's what God says. All right? And that's what we need to follow and understand. And then lastly, one of my favorite verses to go back to in all this is 1 Corinthians 15:53. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's be faithful doing what God wants us to do because we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I just gave you tonight a huge crash course on Daniel's 70th weeks. How many of you say, Pastor, I think I understand at least something about that tonight? Okay, good. Wonderful. Can I take another step? How many understand something tonight, maybe that you didn't quite understand before or was reminded of it? Oh, good. Awesome. It's been a success. I knew I was going to have to run quick, so I appreciate your faithfulness tonight. I look forward to going through more. Daniel has more visions yet to come. We're only in chapter 9. There's 12 chapters, so we're going to keep going, but it's been exciting to see what the Lord's doing here. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us and your